Mel Gibson's Apocalypto and the Accuracy of the Bible. Mel Gibson's film Apocalypto will introduce cinema audiences on both sides of the Atlantic to the ancient apostasy that flourished before and after the global flood. I am not suggesting that Gibson is aware of this. He has made a violent and gory movie about the Mayans of Central America, including their cutting hearts out of living bodies. Christians should have no desire to watch such things. However, in what follows, we will see that the Mayans' ghastly culture of death was a form of the ancient pagan apostasy which they brought to the threshold of the modern world. That this apostasy was present in Central America during the period of the Mayans and their ancestors bears eloquent testimony to the dispersion from Babel recorded by Moses in the 11th chapter of Genesis. We will look at the events recorded in the biblical record. Secondly, we will consider the traceability of these events through archaeology. Thirdly, we will consider evidences of the Babel apostasy in the Mayan civilization. This will bring us to the necessary conclusion. 1. The biblical record. In Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 9, we have an account of events at Babel. These events prove to be of continuing worldwide significance and are as follows. The first event was a great rebellion. This is recorded in verses 1 to 4. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city, and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. God had commanded the distribution of the human race through the earth in order to populate it. In Genesis chapter 9, in verse 1, we read, And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. These folk refused to do so, saying, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. The second event was God's confounding their language. This we read of in verses 5 to 7. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. God saw their sin, confounded their language, and they ceased to build. As Matthew Henry remarks, they deserve death, but are only banished or transported, for the patience of God is very great towards a provoking world. Punishments are chiefly reserved for the future state. And so the third event was the global dispersion. We read of this in verses 8 and 9. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. It was the Lord's doing, and it was wonderfully effective. This dispersion was at such a time in human history, and of such magnitude, that it has left its mark upon the subsequent development of the human race throughout the world. We consider, secondly, the traceability of these events. In my book, Cosmic War Survival, I have argued the case that the great apostasy and the subsequent dispersion are traceable in the archaeological discoveries all over the world, when the correct theological perspective is adopted. The theological perspective as given in Scripture is as follows. The Cushite apostasy. The three sons of Noah were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Their differences of disposition were demonstrated by their conduct in the matter of Noah's drunkenness. Ham showed his irreverence and cleanness and glorying in iniquity. It would appear that through him the primeval apostasy was re-established in the new world. There is evidence to suggest that he fathered the sun worship after the flood. Ham in the Chaldee means the hot or burning one, and Hislop sees this as a covert identification with the sun. Cush not only embraced the apostasy of his father, but founded it socially to the point of securing for himself preeminence within it. The Egyptian Hermes means son of Ham. This Hermes was the Egyptian equivalent of the later Mercury, the original prophet of idolatry, who the pagans recognized as the interpreter of the gods and author of their religious ceremonies. He was regarded as the instigator of discord and of the nations. An early writer comments, "For many ages men lived under the government of Jehovah, without cities and without laws, and all speaking one language. But after that Mercury interpreted the speeches of men, the same individual distributed the nations. Then discord began." Cush, deified, was thus the original Bel, the confounder, the founder of Babylon, and one with Baal, the Lord. The deified Cush became the model for the gods of the nations of Babylon, Egypt, Greece, and the Etruscans. Nimrod, the son of Cush, gave imperial expression to the apostasy. The importance of Nimrod is evident from the disproportionate attention that he receives in the Table of Nations. The various sons of Cush are mentioned by name, but considerable detail is given with respect to Nimrod in what is otherwise a summary record. The record is as follows: "And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, in the land of Shinar." The line of descent is clearly marked in the genealogy: Ham, Cush, Nimrod. Nimrod was thus in the apostate line that brought into the new world the pre-flood rebellion and service of Satan. We note, briefly, the following. Nimrod's might. Nimrod is described as a mighty one in the earth. He was a man known for his boldness and his daring deeds, skilled in war and thirsting for dominion. This was immediately connected with hunting, and the description "mighty hunter" had become proverbial in connection with Nimrod. Relating imperial expansion to this aspect of Nimrod's prowess by the words, "and the beginning of his kingdom was," shows that there was an intimate connection between the two. Nimrod's hunting was thus by no means limited to animals, but he became one who trapped men and who by strategy and violence tyrannized them. Nimrod's empire. The reference to the beginning of his kingdom being in Babel indicates the origins of the imperial community in the New World. From the community at Babel, the imperial expansion extended. Alexander Hislop writes, "The exploits of Nimrod, therefore, in hunting down wild beasts of the field and ridding the world of monsters, must have gained for him the character of a preeminent benefactor of his race. By this means, not less than by the bands he trained, was his power acquired when he first began to be mighty upon the earth, and in the same way, no doubt, was that power consolidated." Nimrod's building activity. The reference to Nimrod's imperial expansion from Shinar to Nineveh, Rehoboth, Kala, and Resen is related to his building of cities. The reference to a great city indicates the attention to fortification that was characteristic of capital cities in ancient times. The name of Nimrod has been preserved in part of the ruins of Nineveh. Nimrod's apostasy. The multiplication of wild beasts provided Nimrod with the opportunity of marshalling a private army, and by appearing as the benefactor of mankind, he advanced himself to the position of unassailable sovereignty. A mighty hunter before the Lord indicates the affront to God in the conduct of this man, for the preposition often has a hostile sense. He was what he was not merely in the sight of God, but also in the face of God, that is, in defiance against him and contrary to his righteous ways. He thus led away others from the truth in a massive revolt against the true God. To tyranny, Nimrod added spiritual apostasy. He established the sciences of magic and astronomy. And Josephus identifies Nimrod as the builder of the Tower of Babel and instigator of the apostasy there. Nimrod the Hunter. The recollection of Nimrod as a mighty hunter not only persisted but became widespread, as attested by the master of the animals, who appears on various ancient artifacts. He is depicted as a powerful figure capable of controlling wild animals. If there was any original connection with Noah, it was so soon overshadowed by Nimrod, as can be seen not only by the emphasis upon violent mastery, but also the acquisition of animal characteristics. Thus, the master of the animals can be seen in one ancient depiction as a huge hero grappling with a bull with his bare hands, and then in a subsequent picture, he grapples similarly with a lion. However, in the second picture, the master has become the bull man. The bull's horns are upon his head, and from the waist down he has the legs and cloven hoofs of a bull. This appears to be the pinnacle of power, and was to be a recurrent theme in the development of the apostasy, as a tyranny not only over animals, but also, more especially, over men. The cruel hunting of men provided human sacrifices for the apostate rituals. Nimrod's death. Hislop maintains that action by Shem to terminate the false religion resulted in the untimely and violent death of Nimrod, including the division and dispersal of his body in an act of judicial retribution, as a warning to others. The death of Nimrod did not, however, terminate the apostasy, but gave it a new impetus. Those who had most to gain from the apostasy, including Nimrod's wife, would not want to see it prematurely brought to an end. The deification of Nimrod may have been well advanced before he died, and this was perpetuated by identifying the deified man with the sun, represented on earth by fire. Nimrod's continued presence on earth was secured, it was claimed, by his being reincarnated as the son of his wife. As such, he was acclaimed as the divine savior. Such a myth provided for the reenactment of Nimrod's death, lamentation for him, the reenactment of his resurrection, great celebration thereat, and the reenactment of his deification. Nimrod was worshipped as the giver of light, the enlightener of men, as to good and evil, and consequently the savior. Nimrod and the mysteries. We can recognize in the above revival of the leading features of the primeval apostasy. The true conception of deity was distorted by the counterfeit deification of Nimrod, so necessary to fulfill man's vainglorious desire for supreme sovereignty and worship from his fellow men. A counterfeit savior was introduced in the form of the divine human seed of the woman. In this way, the unity of God and the true Trinity would be obscured. Nimrod had established a counter community based not upon true kingship and knowledge, but with the counterfeit dominion of vicious tyranny and the counterfeit knowledge of mysteries. The rituals provided a counterfeit service distinct from the divine institutions given to faithfully reflect the work of him who was coming as the seed of the woman. The counterfeit immortality was maintained by the counterfeit resurrection of reincarnation, and the counterfeit paradise in the starry heavens. The central core of the apostasy was to persist and to spread throughout the world. It was Satan's masterpiece for the deception of mankind. The connection with tower technology. There are evidences of a high-tech ancient world, and these have interested scientists. Some have suggested that the ancients had electric batteries. It's also been suggested that the ancients had mechanical computers. We are not, however, dependent upon such finds to demonstrate advanced technology in the ancient world. From the Middle East to the Americas, we have massive structures that witness to an advanced technology in ancient time that still defies explanation. In Peru, for example, stones carved several miles away and subsequently moved to the building site, included huge blocks of different shapes and sizes so perfectly cut and placed in position that gaps between the blocks are not wide enough to insert a piece of paper. Some of the blocks are estimated to exceed 100 tons in weight, and one is estimated to weigh 20,000 tons, far beyond the 3,000 tons that large cranes of today can lift. That men built cities in the primeval age is evidenced early in the Bible record, where we read of Cain, and he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. We may not doubt that others followed this, and we must not imagine that the later cities were primitive affairs. The evidence is still with us that in the 3rd millennium BC, men had the knowledge to build great towers and surrounding complexes, and it is known that this knowledge appears suddenly without gradual development. How can this be accounted for? The rather obvious explanation is that those who repopulated the world after the flood brought with them, through the flood, an advanced building knowledge that had developed in the primeval age. The massive ruined buildings that we find littered in former Mesopotamia, Egypt, and the Americas share common characteristics that apparently predate the flood. This, at least, seems to be the most obvious explanation. The Tower of Babel. In the post-flood world, the Tower of Babel proved to be a prototype for those that followed elsewhere because of its central position in connection with the dispersion of the human race that arose when the people were scattered. The people were engaged in an anti-God enterprise in the furtherance of their apostasy from him. The preoccupation with reaching the heavens was not so much physical as theological. Having left off the knowledge of the true God, they had turned to the celestial bodies as the ultimate representations of their base idolatry. Archaeological research supports the Old Testament account of the sordid details of human sacrifice, including children walking through fire until burned to death. God warned Israel not to practice such degrading rituals. In Deuteronomy 18:10 we read, "There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch." Factors accounting for local variations. As this apostasy spread far and wide, tower and sacred enclosure construction accompanied it on a vast scale in those centers of civilization where resources and knowledge permitted it. We must not expect exact replication. The confusion of tongues resulted in different terminology, and there were many local variations in connection with the sites. In new situations, things would often start with relatively simple sanctuaries and artifacts, but where the knowledge and resources existed, the sacred sites would be developed and embellished in accordance with the local traditions. From the consolidated apostasy in Mesopotamia, it would appear that there was not only dispersion into other lands, but also an imperialistic expansion into nearby countries such as Egypt, Canaan, and Phoenicia. In connection with this imperialistic expansion, there seems to have been both superior knowledge and also organizational skills beyond what was found everywhere. The effects of this expansion seem to have reached as far as Central America and South America, but it is not clear at what time this took place, nor is it clear where it was by this time represented by weaker remnants of it, as found among the Phoenicians and Carthaginians. Common characteristics. The accompanying tower technology would appear to have had common characteristics, among which we can mention the following. 1. Elevation, through a kind of mountain replication, by giving the tower a large base and reducing its length and breadth dimensions with increased height. 2. Enclosure, whereby the tower and its sacred environs were separated off from land accessible to the common people. 3. Enlargement, whereby the sacred site was extended with further buildings and enclosures. 4. Embellishment, involving repeated construction on the same sites and solidification of the primitive sanctuary by building in stone. The tower technology thus furnishes parallels between nations because of a common core of knowledge and belief, with differentiations resulting from reinterpretations of the myths and traditions to fit the local setting. Pyramid building in Egypt is generally dated from the middle of the 3rd millennium BC, and it is significant that the first Egyptian pyramids were step pyramids that closely resembled the Mesopotamian model. It was only subsequently, from 2575 BC, according to generally accepted dates, that the standard type of Egyptian pyramid with which we are familiar replaced these step pyramids. The Mesopotamian towers were a kind of step pyramid with stone staircases for purposes of ascent. At a later date, the Mesoamerican towers followed this basic structure. The step pyramid can thus be found in Mesopotamia, Egypt, and the Americas from Mexico southwards. This suggests that such was the form of the Tower of Babel and the primeval towers. These towers or pyramids were not only tombs, but temples. The effects of migration. The dispersion would result in significant changes in the apostate religion. The following point should be noted. 1. The monolithic structure of the apostasy would cease. The common core would remain, but diverse elements would be introduced as well. 2. The apostasy would cease to be expressed in a single language, and in consequence, a diversity of names would appear. 3. The divergent mindsets resulting from the confusion at Babel would result in diverse emphases as the central themes were reinterpreted and restated. 4. Each community would desire to emphasize the importance of the local shrine. This would necessitate the distant past being located in the immediate vicinity, or alternatively, clear links with ancient localities would be established where feasible. 5. The main members of the pantheon of gods would require local representatives in the form of a priest-king, priesthood, wise men, and seers. 6. Local building projects would reflect the original architectural forms, though local variations would also be found depending upon materials available and the local technological knowledge. 7. The passage of time and cultural developments would result in adaptation of the mysteries to the local cultural context. The overall effect would be that the religions, apparently very diverse, would exhibit a common core and common themes, and the apostasy would be traceable in the major emerging empires. And this is precisely what we find. Once the significance of the apostasy and its theological outlines are recognized, it is possible to trace its spread through many regions. The central core is retained, but local variations appear. However, the parallels in points of detail are too exact as to be ignored, and it becomes clear that the apostasy spread from Shinar to Egypt and was carried to remote regions at an early date. We can enter into the interesting evidences of this in China, South Africa, and Britain. They are outlined in Cosmic War Survival. What is of present interest is that the apostasy reached Central America, as is evident from the archaeological remains of the Mayan civilization, upon which Mel Gibson has based his movie, Apocalypto. It is to this civilization, if such it may be called, that we must now turn. Evidences of the Babel apostasy among the Mayans. We will consider, firstly, evidences of the theology of Babel in the Mayan civilization. Secondly, evidences of the tower technology of Babel in the Mayan civilization. And thirdly, evidences of the tyranny of Babel in the Mayan civilization. Evidences of the theology of Babel in the Mayan civilization. Now, the enterprise on the plain in the land of Shinar was religious, can it be doubted? They wanted a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. They sought a name of renown for man in defiance of God, and stability in their own strength, so as not to be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. The whole enterprise was motivated by apostasy and rebellion, and sustained by a false theology. The Mayan theology exhibits parallels in general and in detail with the Middle Eastern apostasy. Some examples follow. Recollections of prehistory. Recollections of prehistory are found in the Mayan religion, including creation, paradise, the serpent, the temptation, two brothers, the flood, and the Tower of Babel. The Mayan council book, for example, contains an epic holy creation story. According to the Mayans, humans were created to glorify the gods. The importance of the tree is indicated. A massive lid of a tomb features the cosmic tree, Elsewhere, the tree is featured in a cross shape. The Mayan universe was organized on a vertical axis resembling a tree. The serpent is found in abundance and was a king's symbol. The king's son was known as Jaguar Serpent. The Mayans have a legend of a young woman who was tempted to eat the fruit of a tree. The fruit of this tree, when dried and hollowed out, looks like a skull. Also, the flood and the Tower of Babel appear. Evidences of the counterfeit deification. In Mesopotamia, the Egyptian kings were deified. And so it was among the Mayans. As one author comments, adulation of the gods was achieved through worship of the sovereign, who soon assumed the characteristics of divinity. The male and female motif was prominent, as was the divine hero-deliverer seed. The community, dominion, knowledge, and rituals. Among the Mayans, the jaguar was relevant to sovereignty and was seen as the source of power and dominion in the community. One king is represented as emerging from the jaws of a jaguar. The symbols of power are identical to those associated with Nimrod, the Kushites, and Egypt. The plumed headdress is illustrated. The vivid red color characteristic of Mesopotamia is just as popular in Mayan ritual. An 8th century painted room in a palace shows the dignitary in his leopard or jaguar cloak, the plumed headdresses, and possibly even the Middle Eastern dancing goddess with her raised arms. The counterfeit knowledge underlying the Mayan community was, like that of Mesopotamia and Egypt, based upon astronomical observations to provide a foundation for a complex astrology. The serpent was seen as the source of this knowledge, as can be seen at the Pyramid of the Magician, where a human face is depicted as emerging from the jaws of the cosmic serpent. At Taikal, the architecture provided a ladder to the heavens, whereby the priest could ascend and commune with the gods of the cosmos. Such structures provided the context for the ritual reenactments supposed to secure communication with and appeasement of the gods. The mainstay of the rituals was human sacrifices. Human blood and human hearts placated the gods. Central to the worship was the sun and Venus. Evidences of the tower technology of Babel in the Mayan civilization. At the heart of the counterfeit knowledge and worship of the false theology was tower technology. The tower, as the focal point of the city and dwelling place of their god, was fundamental. The Babel builders had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar, and they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower." It is among the monuments of the Mayans that we get a clearer idea of the religion and rituals associated with such sites. The three main periods of the Mayan architecture are classified as Middle Pre-Classic, 900 to 300 BC, Late Pre-Classic, 300 BC to AD 300, and Classic, AD 300 to 900. The sites exhibit ritualistic significance. As Stylin explains, the monuments of the pre-classic period were in the image of a cosmos whose movement and cycles they symbolized. As in Egypt, the sacred complex was set in stone, so the Mayans practiced architectural petrification. The Mayan pyramids, like Mesopotamian ziggurats, supported the sanctuary, but like the Egyptian pyramids, they concealed a tomb at the base. The remains of the deified king were laid to rest in the tomb, which served to preserve his powers among the people. The Temple of the Inscriptions was evidently built over a massive stone coffin that must already have been in place. The tomb could be reached from the temple above by a staircase. There was also a psychoduct similar to those in Egyptian pyramids for the king's soul to progress after defeating the lords of the underworld. As in Egypt, the king was identified with the sun and bore the name Sun Lord. When he died, his attendants were buried with him, as in Egypt. an interesting point of detail connecting a Mayan king with the Kushite apostasy. And Tammuz is an immortality amulet in the mouth of his funerary mask, which takes the form of a T. Evidences of the tyranny of Babel in the Mayan civilization. That there was a tyranny in Babel in the land of Shinar is clear from Genesis 10, verses 8 to 10. And Cush begat Nimrod, who began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Eventually the Toltecs dominated the Mayans, and Bull Court remains provide some insight into the relationships between recollections of prehistory, the Venus theology, and the bloodthirsty ritual enactments. Carvings illustrate ritual enactment of the struggle between the legendary twins. Two groups of contenders are shown together with a boar with a skull on it and blood spurting from its mouth. A decapitated player is shown with snakes spurting from the neck in the place of blood. Beside the boar court there is a stone repository for decapitated heads, decorated with rows of carved skulls. One day in the year the sun's rays pass through the stone circle used as the goal. The connection with Venus is well established. The ancient observatory has observation posts for tracking the movements of Venus. Morton Thomas comment, both the timing of the game and the symbolic significance of what happened to the souls of the sacrificial victims were related not only to the movements of the sun, but also the stars and planets, Venus in particular. It seems that the victims' souls were seen as ascending into the highest heavens, just like the hero twins of the legend. Our conclusion. The Mayans continued traditions in Central America that may well date back to before 2000 BC, when the ancestors of the Olmecs were in the Gulf of Mexico. The Mayan religion and architecture, especially their pyramid-style tower technology, reveal key similarities with the Egyptians, whose sanctuaries and rites derived from Mesopotamia. There is no reason to doubt that what we can trace in the monuments is in fact the apostasy of Nimrod with local variations. There is thus in the Mayan civilization a witness to the accuracy of the biblical record of the Babel dispersion. This argument is developed in detail in Cosmic War Survival, and further details are available at cosmicwar.net.